Thanks for listening to season 4 of the Utah Real Estate Podcast.
The most downloaded series in the whole state and possibly the world.
Hello, I'm Steph Scholl here with the one and only Silver Dollar Man.
Also known as Scott Stevenson. This year, we are consulting with community leaders about the future of the Beehive State.
And how you can best secure a house for your home.
Join the thousands.
And my mom.
That subscribe every Thursday for the most exciting hour of the week.
Scott.
Yes.
You know in the wintertime when you are just sick of the snow and want to get away?
Yes, and I know where you go.
Where?
St. George.
Yep. We're St. George, Washington County. That's what we're talking about today. And, you know, I was looking online for a real estate agent that had experience, that lived down there. And I came across Neil Gibbs, and he's with RE/MAX & Associates.
Neil, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and tell us about St. George, which is really continuing to in popularity.
I read the newspaper yesterday morning, and we were ranked number one in the country for metropolitan areas in growth.
Whoa, so, really?
Number one in the U.S.
Well, before you know it, you're going to be bigger than Salt Lake.
I know. Well, that'll be... Oh, when I'm gone, but right now it's tolerable. We're not like Phoenix or Vegas or Palm Springs, you know, not that big. You can actually get around and not be stuck in bumper to bumper traffic. It's pretty good. And I think it'll be good, at least for the next 10 years, even with our growth, because they've done a good job of putting in turnpikes. We got a Southern Parkway that goes to the new airport, but we had our old airport for the longest time. Up on a plateau and they couldn't. SkyWest Airlines, that's the largest commuter airlines in the country, based out of St. George, and their corporate offices are here, but they fly underneath the Delta banner, the United banner, and the American banner. They couldn't land their own planes because of the short runway on top of a plateau here. So all we got at that time was the 30 passenger turboprops. But now the airport on the Southern Parkway, which is right next to the Arizona border, can facilitate those jets and bigger jets. And so we're starting to have more options for flying right out of St. George instead of having to catch a shuttle to Las Vegas and fly out from Las Vegas. So it's been a lot nicer. We go to Florida to visit my daughter from time to time, but we've instead of going to Vegas to fly out, we fly right out of St. George and hook into Phoenix, and it's a lot better.
That's good to know. And how much do they project it to grow in the next couple of years? Do you know?
They expected this to be $500 million by 2060, but that's a ways off. But we added 10,000 people in a year.
Oh,
so, and for the size of our community, that's a percentage-wise is why we got ranked number one in the nation for metropolitan areas over 100,000. Yeah, I mean, if we continue at that pace, it's crazy. I mean, we down on the Southern Parkway, right off the freeway, and where Sun River is, they're putting in it's like a Top Golf, but it's called Big Shots. And so we're getting more things. You know, we're supposed to get in a water park, a lot more available to keep you in St. George instead of having to go to Vegas or what have you for shopping and restaurants and different things. So it's nice in that respect, because we like to keep business locally.
So Neil, tell us a little bit about what brought you to St. George. I heard you were on your way on a road trip going through.
Yeah, my wife is originally from Idaho, and we were having a family reunion. Actually, it wasn't in Idaho, even though most of our relatives are there. It was in the Fort Bridger area up in southwestern Wyoming, but we didn't leave till sort of late in the day. It was a 4th of July trip and family reunion thing, and didn't leave till, you know, after lunch, and we could only make it down as far as St. George before, you know, spend the night and then moving on to Phoenix, which is where we were living. And so anyway, ran into a friend of mine who moved here that I used to work with in the automobile industry down there. And he started putting the sales pitch on me, and I said, well, listen, I'm not moving to any cold climate. I've already lived in Wyoming and South Dakota. I'm spoiled with the Phoenix weather. And so he assured me that it was good weather, maybe not quite as hot as Phoenix, but anyway, and then I started looking at the beauty of the area, especially the next morning, because we got there kind of late, later in the day, but, and looked at all the red rock. The scenery was fabulous, and the he convinced me the weather was going to be good. I could see palm trees, so I know it couldn't get too cold. And so anyway, wanting to get out of the automobile industry and really had a desire to get into real estate. At the time, Phoenix was sort of a big market, didn't know what to do there. He had convinced me that, you know, why not be a bigger fish in a smaller pond and try St. George. Well, 6 days later, I was up here in real estate school. So
6 days later.
Well, he must be quite the salesman.
Yeah, you know what they say about salespeople? They're easy to get sold. They're probably the worst on getting sold on something. But anyway, so here I am, and we had a 3.5-year-old that's now going to be 42. I've been here 28 and a half years. We have two children together that got raised here, went to high school here. Since then, I've got one in Salt Lake working for Overstock.com, and I got another one in the food and beverage industry down in Pompano Beach, Florida. So anyway, but we don't see ourselves moving from here because we don't really have a big desire to get back to the big city. If we want big city life, we've got Las Vegas an hour and a half down the road. Meanwhile, we don't have as much traffic and, pollution, crime and things like that to deal with. But we got great outdoor activities, and we kind of like that idea. So, yeah.
Hey, so what part, I'm interested, what part of Idaho is your wife from?
Mostly the Boise area. She went to Meridian High School, I think.
Well, see, my parents are from Idaho too, but a little further south in a little teeny town called Wendell, which has never changed in 100 years.
She's got a lot of relatives in southeastern Idaho, and
she does.
Soda Springs, American Falls, Pocatello, and all those areas. So.
Yeah, we used to make. I was actually born and raised in the East Coast, but we used to make the trip across coast, across country, and visit our relatives in Idaho, all over Idaho. So, Idaho, the gem state, can't get any better than that.
I call my wife Spud.
Well, I love the Spud candy bar.
Love it. Well, I want to talk a little bit about what was it like selling real estate when you first got to the St. George, Washington County area, and what is it like now?
It's changed a lot. The dynamics have changed. It was sort of a little clicky, very, high percentage LDS and so forth. And even though people had started coming here from different parts of the country, not just the Wasatch Front and the northern Utah and Idaho, but we started getting Californians and people from other areas. But and there wasn't much to offer here for shopping and restaurants and that kind of thing. So we found ourselves going to Las Vegas quite a bit for shopping and entertainment and a little bit more variety, restaurants, stuff like that. So now we don't care so much about the ringing of slots and, the big city life, because we've got more to offer here in St. George than we used to have then. And the diversity has changed so much. I've sold people homes from as far away as Maine. And so they're not just coming from the local Idaho, northern Utah, neighboring states, California and Washington, Oregon. We do see, probably a larger percentage coming from those, maybe the highest percentage besides Utah and Idaho, being Californian. You know, a lot of Californians trying to fled the crowds, the high taxes. We're a more conservative state, so we see a lot of people trying to get away from the liberal states that want to come into the conservative areas. And so we do see quite a bit of that. And so the whole dynamics really have changed. And I think we talked a little bit about the type of buyers we have. I mean, I don't know if you want me to expand on that at this point.
No, I thought that was interesting. Let's talk about that. Scott doesn't know about it.
Yeah. Stephanie was telling me you'd been talking about like three different types of homeowners.
When I first moved here, it was really kind of slow in the summer because we don't have much of any industry, and family home buyers weren't really trying to come in unless they were in the coming in to work in the construction and real estate field. And so our primary buyers were retirees and second homeowners. And we still have those, but dynamics have kind of changed a little bit because, number one, the vacation rental industry has just exploded here. You know, so in other words, somebody can not just have a second home that they don't use more than a month or month and a half out of the year, and then it sits there vacant and they pay taxes and insurance on it and yard care and things like that. The idea that St. George is becoming nationally renowned, it's probably the last 15 to 20 years been in the top five in the nation for retirement communities to move to.
Which is so cool. Top five.
I mean, it's, you know, because of our low crime, great scenery, we're closer to more state and national parks than any city in the nation. Golf is huge. Not only do we have a 14th golf course being built here, but we have seven more down in Mesquite, which is only another 30-minute ride south. So, you know, it's just, and then becoming, you know, somewhat of a competing area for mountain biking, Kanab being the number one spot for that.
You guys have some great softball leagues down there too, don't you?
Gosh, yeah. Some weekends, like this past weekend, I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And there's so much traffic. And anyway, find out, you know, you got all the softball tournaments, soccer tournaments. You've got spring break, which for us, we have like a 3-week span of spring breaks. We have our own, you know, high schools on spring break. The high schools up north are at a different week, and then the college is up north. And so we get all of these different spring breaks that last about 3 weeks. And, you know, you got clients that want to come in from where they're living. I had some people trying to come in from Flagstaff recently, and they're going, we can't even find a room, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny thing you should say that, because just this past weekend, I had a granddaughter that had a gymnastics event down there. And, you know, my wife and I, we could not find anything, even into Cedar City. We still, in whatever tiny stuff we could find was like $500 a night.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. People are having to look in Cedar City and Mesquite, Nevada for rooms. And so it's kind of tough. The other idea is if you can find a vacation rental, which is, like I say, a huge business. So down here with the vacation rentals that I was expanding on, the cities will not allow vacation rentals in your own home if it's just in a city type of subdivision. During the recession, when we hit that, you know, bottom of the market where people were losing their houses and having to get it foreclosed and short sell, the neighbors that could hold on to their houses were fine with the vacation rentals, even though there was a lot of cars going and coming from their driveways and the streets. And they were allowing it to happen because instead of having the house get foreclosed on and the grass being dead and everything looking bad, they had at least the house was kept up, and there's people coming up from up north or different places to occupy the property, and the homeowner was able to hold on to the property. Well, when the market changed and bounced back, the city residents and local neighbors didn't want all the cars and boats and side-by-sides and everything, you know, coming and going in their neighborhood. And so most of the cities have stopped allowing that. So what's happened since then in the last 7 or 8 years is that these communities have been popping up where the zoning in that community is all vacation rental zoned. In other words, they can do nightly rentals for anywhere from one night to a week or whatever, and it's fully furnished and turnkey, towels, everything, just like a hotel room. Except if you got a house with all the amenities, with washer and dryer, and you're cooking and dishes and pots and pans and towels. So that type of business is just gone crazy. And I keep thinking that we're, you know, have peaked out, or we're getting too many of them. But after, you know, 2 months worth of pandemic and things started opening back up in Utah compared to other states, it was crazy. They just kept building them, and as fast as they get built, and still to this day, fast as they build new vacation zone communities, they get sold. The properties get sold. And so we're seeing anywhere now, you're going anywhere from $700,000 to for a vacation rental home. And a lot of them have observation decks, you know, on the second level with great views, because we got a lot of, you know, great views in the area. Anywhere from $700,000 now on up to, you know, $1.5 million or what have you. So yeah, the pricing has gone up tremendously as well, whereas before you could buy a vacation rental home for $250,000, and that's just not available anymore. But the rents have gone up as well. So anyway, so that's the second type of buyer.
It's interesting because my family, we've done like two of the vacation rentals, and I didn't realize until we talked how they were out, really like St. George and even like Santa Clara?
We got St. George, Santa Clara, Washington, and Ivins are all,
yeah,
you know, one city runs right into the other, so they're, yeah, all very joined. Hurricane's a little more separate. It's a little bit farther, yeah, away, but not very far.
And so those cities you can't do vacation rentals in.
No. Hurricane, they allowed people in regular city subdivisions to do vacation rentals, but they only allowed 50, and I don't know if they've expanded a little bit on that, only 50 permits. So there's all these other people that in those neighborhoods that have second homes would like to rent them out and get some return on their investment, but they're on a waiting list because there's only 50.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, unless you're in a zone community that allows for that, you cannot do it. Leverkin is one of the few, and that's a very small town outside of Hurricane that has not restricted vacation rentals, but they're about the only community in Southern Utah or Washington County.
Well, the community the place that they rented, it was a community, and it had a pool that was just crazy cool. But I mean, the way that they are building these, it supports big groups of people. Like, I was so impressed by this rental property because it was the way that they did the kitchen, the way that they did the living room, just everything was just made for the Airbnb populations.
It really is. And most of them do have, pretty much all of the communities have a pool, but some of them are getting really dramatic with their pool areas with lazy rivers and.
Yes, that was this one. I was like, what in the world?
Yeah, I mean, they make it a full experience for the tenants that come down and utilize those vacation rentals. So, you know, you got a clubhouse and a workout room and you know, pools with lazy rivers. There's a community called Desert Color on the south end of St. George, right off of exit 2. So it's really close to the Arizona border, just 2 miles from the Arizona border. Not even that, actually. But anyway, it's a big community, but they have a 3-acre pool. It's just, humongous.
That's huge.
With all this lazy river stuff. But it's becoming quite popular. I thought it was a little bit overdone, you know, when we hit that slowdown and when the pandemic first hit in March of 2020. But 2 or 3 months later, we're just going gangbusters again. And so, yeah, the vacation rental communities are just hot spots. And if people can't find, you know, hotel rooms, that's another way to go. It's just come down. And if you've got, you know, a couple families or some friends, and come down here and go see the sites, golf, hike, boat, razor ride, and then, you know, have your nice get together in your vacation rental home with full cooking facilities and so forth.
So you have your retirement, your retirees that are going there to St. George. You've got this rental explosion that's going on. Did you say there was a third type?
Yeah, so the retirees are buying second homes that they know that they're the only ones sleeping in the beds. And so, you know, they don't mind having the place sit vacant, but they want to be in a community that has the yard taken care of by, you know, their association dues paid for yard maintenance and so forth. And they have other retirees in the community that kind of keep an eye on their place. And so they feel good and safe. And some are gated, some are not. But the third one just came about over the last, you know, at least over the last 5 or 6 years, really strong, is, you know, the family buyers that are not necessarily hooked into the real estate and development side of things. They're moving here because their company might be in San Francisco, but they can work from home now. And, yeah, you know, just like my son, my youngest son works for Overstock.com, lives up in Utah County in Eagle Mountain. He comes down here and can spend 5 days and not miss a beat at work, get just as much done because he's been used to working from home. They've got a big facility up there that has been mostly vacant during the pandemic. And even after the pandemic's sort of fizzled out, they really haven't opened it up. They've realized that they, you know, could probably save money on power and utilities and so forth out of their big facility and have people work from home because their production actually was just as strong, if not stronger. So we have a lot of people that work from home, and it's hard to believe because we were so used to, you know, not having that type of buyer, the families that would move in and have a job in some other bigger city as far as their corporate offices go, but be able to live in the community that they feel more safe in and have all the outdoor activities and good weather and golf and things like that, and be able to live in St. George. We just didn't have that type of buyer until the tech part of our society really took off. And so now it's just amazing how many families have moved in because they couldn't before, but now they can because of the fact that they can work from home, you know, maybe take a flight once every month,
couple of months.
Quarter.
Yeah, I have one son actually who just recently switched. He lives here locally, and he took a job with a company that's based in San Francisco, and he works at home the whole time. He flies to San Francisco about once a quarter. The pandemic really kind of exposed a whole different way of living. It's kind of interesting. Something so bad could actually have turned so good for so many people in the long run.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, businesses have realized they don't need these big facilities. It works for some people and not for others. I like to come into my office because I'm in the right setting. My wife does mortgage and she can work from home 80% of the time and not miss a beat because I'm not there to bug her. It's just amazing that we've come to this point where, you know, somebody doesn't have to go into the office.
So your wife does mortgages. Does she do a lot of reverse mortgages for the first group that you were talking about, the senior citizens moving there?
She does a fair amount. She does everything from VA to reverse mortgages. Cherry Creek Mortgage in town here, they base themselves out of Sun River. Sun River is our largest retirement community so far. About 2,800 homes and, you know, golf course, pickleball courts and big clubhouse and the big gym and everything for the 55 and older. They really kind of, you know, try to have people at least look at the option of doing a reverse mortgage. And a reverse mortgage is great for somebody that, you know, only has a certain amount of assets to get by on for the rest of their life and feels like they possibly don't feel obligated to leave the equity in the house to their children because they've already, you know, spent a lot of money raising their children and hopefully they're sufficient at that point. They would rather just say, hey, put 50% down on your house and then I'll never have to make a payment because my equity makes the payment. But I always tell my clients that let's just make sure, think about this for quite a while. When you do a reverse mortgage, they do require you to do a 20-minute, I think it's 20 minutes. I don't know if they've expanded that. But I don't think the 20-minute consultation is long enough. You know, a lot of people get into a reverse mortgage and think that's the house they're going to die in. But then something changes in their life 2 or 3 years later, and that reverse mortgage kind of, you know, in a market like ours right now that's been escalating in value, they're okay. But if it's kind of a stagnant market, the reverse mortgage is not always a great thing if 3 or 4 years down the road they want to sell their house, because it does eat away your using your equity to make the payment. So your mortgage balance gets higher and higher. So it's very important for these retirees to really kind of think about it and make sure that they feel this is where I'm going to die.
That's a good way of looking at it. Reverse mortgage, die.
Well, it's like death and paying taxes, you know?
Yeah. Well, now, if there's someone who, I mean, there could be a lot of different agents that listen to this or people that might be interested in rental property. Is there a good property management company there that you could recommend to agents that they might be able to recommend to clients?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a number of them, and you know, I don't want to single out, but if you want my recommendation on who I like to use I've got two different type of property managers. I've got a property manager for vacation rentals, because for vacation rentals you're looking at least 30% of the rent payment going towards the property management company versus, you know, 8 to 10% or what have you for a long-term rental.
Yeah,
but the point being is for vacation rentals, they've got to do just like they do for a hotel room. They got to change the sheets. They got to, you know, make sure the dishes are done, wipe the whole house down, and get it ready for the next tenant. And that's just an ongoing thing. So there's a lot more intense management when it comes to the physical preparation for the next tenant. Anyway, and I like to use Vacation Resort Solutions. Brandy Perry is somebody who worked for me years ago and done a great job and takes care of her clientele. It's called Vacation Resort Solutions. And so people have an option most of the time when they buy a vacation rental zone property to try to do it themselves through VRBO or Airbnb, or they can go to a local property manager. There are a couple of them that restrict that you have to use their own on-site management. I'd rather get my clients involved in community where they have the right to choose who they want to manage their property, whether they want to do it themselves or go with a company. As far as long-term property management, when I say long-term, that's, you know, normally a 6 month or more than a year property manager. I usually like to use St. George Rental Management. Candace Cather is her name. She does a fabulous job. I haven't heard anything bad from people that have used her and her company, and she's on top of things and does a great job. So we have a lot of options for people here.
That's really beneficial. Thanks for giving us those recommendations, because if you're living not in St. George, it's like you don't know who to trust or what's like the best. And so it's nice to have a local.
Can we trust you, Neil?
You know, 90 to 95% of my business is repeating referrals. So I hope that means I'm trusted somewhat.
That must mean a yes.
Yeah.
I already knew you were trustworthy, Neil.
I did too. I just wanted to get a reaction.
It's important for me if I refer somebody that they do a good job, because if they don't, that reflects back on me. And they'll go tell 50 or 100 people, oh, Neil referred that person to me and they were terrible. You know, that's worse than keeping somebody happy that only tells 2 or 3 people how great you are. It's important for me to know that when I've got a list of people I refer, that they're not going to let me down, so that my name becomes mud after that referral.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. It's kind of like a blind date. You know, somebody puts you on a blind date and you have a horrible time. You don't want to ever take that person's advice again.
But that's how you met your wife.
I did. And the upside is that, yeah, my sister set me up on a blind date with my wife now 44 years later. You know, I kind of worship my sister for giving me that that reference. So it works both ways, good and bad.
Oh, yeah. That's a kind of a risk thing, but you're probably one of the small percentage guys that it ended up good for.
Yeah. Right. I'm that 1% that things worked out with the blind date.
I don't know. Been with my wife for almost 38 years, so I haven't had to be in that arena, but you know, I've heard some stories about you know, things not working out so great. But then, you know, you hear a story like yours that says, "Wow, you know, I guess you try enough of them, but maybe that was your first one and it worked out." Although I do realize this, when I was dating, I got more referrals, I guess, or dates through my sister than anybody else out
there. Yeah, the sister's always looking out for you.
Yeah, they didn't want me to be steered into somebody, because those women know women. They don't want their brother to get with somebody that their brother's going to regret, you know?
So, yeah, because anyway. They're stuck with them.
That's right.
Well, I mean, we're saying St. George because that's what the more known, but these other cities, they, because you said that the population when you moved there was like 55,000 and it's grown to 200,000?
Yeah, so we've gone from 55,000 to just about 200,000 in the 28 and a half years that I've been here. And that's swells from there during this time of year when the snowbirds are here, these people that own second homes. Mm-hmm. And so we're just talking about a base population of primary residences here. So it's grown a lot. You know, the good thing is that I think they've done a good job in our area. When I say St. George, I usually, you know, mean the St. George metro, little metro area, which includes Santa Clara, Ivins, and Washington. And then Hurricane being a little bit further, but it's all Washington County. There's only a small portion of Washington County that sits up in a higher elevation, like New Harmony, which is just 8 miles this side of Cedar City. And Cedar City is at a mile high or better. But we sit in this pocket down here of palm trees and red rocks and beautiful desert, looking at a 10,300-foot mountain, but we don't have to shovel sunshine. You know, we got the good weather and good scenery, but each one has capitalized from the growth in the areas. There's some people want a little bit more rural, so they might be in Hurricane or Laverkan or Tocqueville, these other little smaller communities a little bit farther out. St. George, Washington, Santa Clara, and Ivins are all bunched together and offer, you know, values wise, they've all got some beautiful areas. I mean, every town's got a little bit of an old section, but Ivins, when I first moved here, it was a lot of trailer homes out there. And now it's probably one of the more desired places to live, because they've got these beautiful red mesas. And for those that want more of an artsy type of a community and a Santa Fe style home, Kayenta is a community out just on the western edge of Ivins. It allows you 1-acre lots in most cases, and the homes are sort of built down into the ground a little bit, not underground, but, you know, they don't want the homes too high because they want all the views to be preserved. And they've got like 7 art galleries out there, a nice restaurant, coffee shop, and things like that. And so we've got a little bit of variety for everybody. We do have art galleries in the downtown, so that the art section is really taken off pretty well. What's exposed St. George, you know, when I moved here, they just started a year or two before, they started the World Senior Games that attracts people from as far away as Jamaica, volleyball teams and basketball teams and track and field and tennis and golf and just about every type of sport you can think of. And then we've got the marathon that we've had every year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, St. George Marathon. That's a prelude to the Boston Marathon. We usually have 7,000 or so participants for that. And then 6-7 years ago or more, we got the first Ironman event in our town out of 6 total in the United States. The rest of them are overseas in South America and Europe. But this year, we actually have the world championship here. St. George was known by the Ironman people as being the toughest course, and they just love the scenery. And so just a lot of things have exposed St. George to the world. I remember sitting in a restaurant in their sort of bar area, and I ran into an Englishman guy, and I'm originally from England. I moved over. Nobody knows it until I really start talking that way, but I'm rather English. And I was only 13 years old.
I try to do that accent. I never can. I sound like I come from Poland or something when I try that.
Wait, you moved when you were 13?
Yeah, 13 years old. My mother remarried to an American from South Dakota. So we're really that's some cultural change. But anyway, I ran into this guy from England. I said, well, what are you doing here? And this was at least 10 years ago. And he says, oh, I'm here scouting golf courses for my friends in England. I said, are you planning a trip here? And he says, yeah. Yeah. I said, well, how did you find St. George? And he says, TV shows, golf channels and stuff like that are really exposing St. George as a new destination. And like I say, this is over 10 years ago. And he was looking for houses where he could put foursomes together. You know, everybody has their own bedroom and things like that. But this was before our vacation rentals were available for larger groups like that. And so he was having a rough time finding the type of facility to where they could all get together and hoop and holler after their game and trash each other and so forth. But anyway, that's what golfers do. But anyway,
typical sportsman.
But yeah, it's just amazing how we've not just become an attraction nationwide, but worldwide now.
Well, it sounds to me like this is a little bit of heaven on earth, right? St. Yeah. George, heaven on earth.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's absolutely fabulous places up in northern Utah, you know, where you guys live and beautiful mountains and so forth. The thing that changed is a difference here is we've got more time to utilize the outdoor space because of the weather.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And we can actually, you know, be in Bryan Head, an hour and 15 minutes, you can be skiing and live in the desert. So we have a variety. Part of my Harley Davidson riding, we are one of the best rides by Hog Magazine. That's a Harley Owners Group magazine, was the ride between St. George and Torrey, Utah, because you would go through Zion National Park and over to Hatch and Bryce Canyon, Escalante staircase area, and then over Boulder Mountain down into Torrey by Capitol Reef. And so, you know, just beautiful scenery. Utah's got it.
You know what I love about this episode? So we've been, this season, we're really talking more about, like, Utah and just what makes Utah unique. And we had on someone from UDOT talking about how Utah is so innovative with our traffic design, which who would have ever thought? I don't think so, you know? And then hearing you talk about how it's number 5 for like retiring across the nation. And then your buddy that like 10 years ago, it was on the map for things. It sort of is fun to, like, it gives me pride in my state of being like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Neil, do you have a rental I can have this weekend?
You might have better luck this coming weekend because I think the spring breakers are over.
They're over with. I might have a better shot now, huh?
Yeah. Do you guys find as locals, like during spring break, are you like, oh my gosh, let's have this be over with?
Yeah, sometimes it's a good time to escape town.
Yeah, that's when you guys like head to Salt Lake. I just remember being young and like it was so cool to go to St. George and to like cruise Main Street. Street, whatever the street was.
Boy, yeah.
Well, when there wasn't much there at all anyway.
Yeah.
That reminds me of my old high school in South Dakota, Cruz, Maine.
Yeah.
But anyway, we have our Parade of Homes down here in mid-February every year.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. And we usually attract, I think they got at least 40,000 visitors to the Parade of Homes. And a lot of people come up from up north where you guys live. In our Parade of Homes, we, you know, when we started out, when I moved here in 93, you know, I don't know if there was even a home over $1 million. And out of 28 homes this year, there was only one that was under $1 million. So,
man,
you know, the pricing has gone crazy. And there's so many people with money that have put their nest eggs together from other parts of the country that have moved in and still feel like it's a good deal here, even though us locals don't think it's a good deal.
So I have a question. What do you guys do in the summer when it's so hot?
Well, you do one or two things. You either go to Lake Powell, Lake Mead, or one of the lakes, or you go up high and get out into the mountain areas. We've got a couple places where a lot of people have homes, and actually a lot of people in Vegas are up there, but like Duck Creek and which is, you know, about an hour from here. And it's just up to Cedar City and straight east up in the mountain. A lot of communities with cabins and stuff like that. So their elevation is anywhere from 8 to 9,000 feet elevation. And Bryan Head, where the ski resort is places you can go to get away and cool off. Whether it's going to the lakes and cooling off in the water or going to cool off and get into the mountains. So you have a lot of people that have getaways, cool off once in a while. Otherwise, you stay inside and with the air conditioning on.
Right. And like run to your car. But you mean like your car at that point, anytime you get in, is so hot.
You have to learn. When I was in the car business in Scottsdale, Arizona, we learned to go out and start the car up and let it run just like you do when the car is freezing cold. You start it out if you got a electronic starter, or if you got to go start it and let it warm up. Here, you let it cool down so you don't burn your hands on the steering wheel.
That makes sense.
And you got to be really careful and make sure you're not wearing shorts and sit on one of your metal seatbelt buckles, because then you will jump out of that car so quick.
Neil, thanks for taking the time to tell us about one of the greatest things that Utah's got going, St. George.
Yeah, it's not a secret anymore, but that's okay for us real estate agents, I guess. My wife and I thought, well, if we left here, where would we go? And we'd just stay here. We thought of a couple other communities of similar size. The problem is they don't have the freeway like we have to divert traffic and some of the turnpikes that we've got going. And so traffic's better here than it is in some other places because of the fact we do have the freeway.
Just a plug for all you homeowners out there. Remember, you get to choose your title company.
And here at Title One, there's a reason why there's a one in our title. Learn all about our colossal closings
by going to askusutah.com.
We celebrate with you in securing a house for your home.